Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Senator JPO of WPR Rebuttal. We are back on air. So, okay, in part one, we covered why Bernie Sanders defeated Hillary Clinton in the Wisconsin primary by a 13.5 percentage point margin. And we also covered how the American economy has a record high proportion of temporary labor, currently at 2% and climbing. So now that we have some stuff to talk about, I'm going to open up the lines here. Our call-in number is area code 929-477-3965. Again, that's 929-477-3965. So what else do we have here? So we have... technical difficulties. Aren't those common with Blog Talk Radio? Oh, BTR, please don't take me off the air because I criticized your service. Okay, so now our contributing factors here as to why we're becoming more of a temporary labor economy. Well, some of you aren't going to like this, but it's really true, and that is with all these migrant workers coming in, it just makes it more difficult for any worker in the United States to have stability, because you know you have these people who they're pretty much permatemps, right? Where all they're doing is they're migrating for seasonal labor, and unfortunately, that's allowed to happen in the United States. And the American worker, at least the one stuck in low-wage labor, even the college graduates, you know, many of them are stuck in low-wage labor, about a good 45% of them by some counts. But so then it's like, well, if these people who come from a country with a lower standard of living can go and happily, or at least contentedly, go and travel around from temp job to temp job, why can't we have the Americans do the same thing too? So and it's unfortunate because it's really a double standard at play, because the migrant workers have all their travel expenses and their housing paid for them. By who? By the foreign labor brokers. So you really think the migrants would have enough collusion amongst themselves, enough cohesion and planning ability to go and charter a bus and already have a comfortable housing waiting for them within commuting distance at a job site? Well, no, because these migrants are from all over the place. They're not from one city. They're pretty much dispersed. And no, it's just like, what if in America we had some college graduates try to use social media and then call each other on cell phones after meeting each other online, and then try to go and charter a bus together to pick berries in Washington State? I mean, come on. No, most people, I guess executives might have such resources, but unfortunately the low-wage, unskilled laborer does not typically have the resource to do that. And the only reason those migrants are able to come up here to the United States and work is because these foreign labor brokers use their executive power and use their wealth to go and, charter a bus and lease out some housing, and they have these migrant labor camps. And I guarantee you, without those foreign labor brokers, there would be fewer migrant camps, especially way up here in Wisconsin. So at any rate, I guess what's my experience with that? I actually worked alongside migrant workers, and that was really rough, because the standards that the employer had was, first of all, 12-hour shifts. Like, that's not too bad if you're doing something like involving research, and you're allowed some variety and stuff. But when it's pure monotonous manual labor, I mean, it's not just hard on your body, it's hard on your mind. And it's emotionally taxing, too, because at the end of a shift, some of the migrants are upbeat and stuff, especially some of the younger ones, because then they're like, oh, can listen to my iPod again, or hey, can go to the Pizza Hut before it closes from too many bad managerial decisions. A little jab at Pizza Hut, long story. I'll cover it in another podcast someday. But the whole point that I'm making is the migrant laborers are unfortunately looked upon by corporate America as kind of like the standard bearer for how much crap the American worker is expected to humbly and gratefully accept. And that is unacceptable. Because, okay, I'll just put it this way. If you want the future of America to involve a lot more tempting and a lot more working under migrant laborer type conditions, then, hey, the current policy is what will get us there. Reconstruction era economy, where there's a lot of low wage agricultural work, where there's a lot of light industrial stuff, where you gotta have good tendons or else you get tendonitis and all our stuff, and where an economy where it's difficult to make anything of your education because there are far more graduates than jobs that would use any type of college education. I mean, even at an associate's degree level, then that's why we need a change. And that, of course, is why so many people have been supporting not only Sanders, but also Donald Trump. Now, I could talk about, how Donald Trump is smashing the competition, and I could address why Cruz had a pocket of support in Wisconsin, but really, as a manual laborer who works, pretty much nearly full time at my current staffing engagement. More often than not, it's not exactly full time. But if they have a glut of orders for the product that I palletize, then yeah, I mean, it will pretty much be the new definition of full time, which is like 35 hours or greater. So, and I got a raise. And the first one I really bit and scratched for. But once I set that precedent of receiving a raise, then it generously gave me another that was even larger. So, again, I'm not going to name the company. I'm not going to name the agency. But, they've been treating me pretty well. My whole point is that if I had not a longevity, if I was just shuffled around, that raise would never happen. If I were stuck in the same situation as like a migrant worker, I'd be screwed because, again, you need longevity to get raises and you need a permanent role to earn a promotion. I mean, you can be the best temp ever, but you'll never be promoted. So if you're jobless and you haven't been in the workforce in a while, okay, you can temp, but try to get out of temping as soon as possible, even if it's like a comfortable job. Oh, keep on interviewing for stuff. And fortunately, in my situation, I did apply and I even interviewed for some other things, but daggone it, no, I mean, it just wasn't happening. Human resources and their odd way of viewing the world. Again, I'll have a special podcast just upon the abnormalities of human resource people. Like, oh man, I can understand why so many people are frustrated. They're stuck as permatemps. And if there are any permatemps listening, you're welcome to call in. Again, the number for WPR rebuttal, area code 929-477-3965, 929-477-3965. And I'm on the subject of permatemps and how there are so many contingent workers in America, and it's climbing, and it should be scary to policymakers, not for a fact that their sons and daughters might end up as temps, because, oh yeah, we know the policymakers will look after their own. I mean, or the chances that the son or daughter of someone influential will be coached on how to get into those elite jobs early and often. But for the typical American worker, I mean, they're not going to be able to get into those jobs that pay decently. They're going to be stuck in low occupational prestige, no matter how many bloody degrees they earn. So, you know, it's a greater reliance upon the welfare state, and having so many attempts is not helping that matter. And, okay, so Wisconsin Works is an innovative program where essentially people on welfare have to go and engage in one of three things. One is like jobs training, which, it is a real interesting part about the jobs training. But certain things like education, I mean, it's not like if you have an unemployed person on Wisconsin Works, then you are not going to have eligibility to go and, going to a four-year degree. I'll put it this way. A four-year degree is not counted as jobs training on Wisconsin Works, and why is it not? Huh? That's really the indictment, especially for a poor person where the whole point of school for a poor person, or not necessarily the whole point, but the primary driver of one's decision-making to get an education is to get a higher-paying job. Now, some duller eggheads stuck in their ivory towers, ruffling their academic robes and, you know, relaxed at their mahogany desk, sitting their rear ends, their posteriors down at their mahogany desk, and, you know, surfing the web and getting busted for illicit browsing and whatnot on a taxpayer dime and getting paid leave. Oh. But anyway, so higher education administrators are generally indifferent towards the plight of unemployed college graduates. And, you know, it's to their detriment because there's this willful ignorance in academia where they might, you know, be aware of it at a personal level, but professionally is taboo to talk about the underemployment or even the transition difficulties of recent graduates. And when these recent alumni are not so recent alumni and they get stuck in these low-skilled jobs, in the case where it's either low-skilled jobs or total unemployment, well, that is not good for that university or for the economy. Obviously, these alumni are going to be dissatisfied. They're not going to donate. That's for sure. And, chances are, again, Wisconsin Works. And, they're amongst the working poor. They're on welfare, but they are working. It's just that for how human resources treats them, they're a pigeonhole. They're stereotyped by human resources as, if you haven't done anything with your career or your degree by now, you're just worthless except a warm body. And that's pretty much the attitude of these human resource people. It's like, I have a PhD degree, so I can decide who works where, and I can hire the vice president of sales despite never selling a bloody thing myself. I can decide who can work as a palletizer despite being a weakling who can barely lift the coffee carafe in the lunchroom. And I, with my PhD degree, my certification, my SHRM membership, by golly, I can decide who even gets an interview with my organization because I am the gatekeeper and I have a chip on my shoulder and a point to prove. Yeah, well, PhD people, you're overrated, and a lot of you just outright stink. I'm pretty sure that I used enough euphemisms to avoid trouble with the FCC, but at any rate, any other callers frustrated with human resources people? If you are, give me a call, WPR Rebuttal, 929-477-3965. So, I covered one reason why there are more attempts abounding in America, not by choice, by necessity, by just mere survival, either being a temp or jobless. And, reason number one was just because we have, competition with migrant laborers. And reason number two is that okay, so temping is not a way into the company itself unless the contract explicitly says temp to hire. So if your temporary labor contract says nothing in the duration field, or if it says open-ended, that means never going to be promoted, never going to be hired on. You can apply for permanent positions in the client business, okay, at the work site where you actually do your job, but don't expect them to even interview you because temps are pretty much anathema to be disposed of once it has been determined internally that, hey, they can bring in someone who has never temped there. And they are shuffled attempts to minimize the likelihood of a raise, or they just hire someone who has not been a temp. And there's definitely a prejudice and discrimination against temporary workers. And really, I would entertain legislation to go and forbid, like at the same level of EEO, forbidden discrimination. Just outlaw discrimination against temporary workers when they apply for work. If it's been documented or somehow found out, and I know it's a very high bar to set, but I believe that being a contingent worker should be the same grounds for legal protection against employment-related discrimination as one has for one's race, gender, and whatnot. And of course, I would only extend that protection, that right, so to speak, to have equal employment opportunity. I would only extend the EEO for temps right to U.S. citizens. Okay, so I'm not saying that the migrant workers should be able to go and have the same protection. Uh-uh, not by a long shot. But I am saying that those who live here and work here, okay, and they're citizens and they pay the taxes here, or I guess not necessarily pay taxes because about, gosh, what is it, over 45% of Americans don't pay any federal income tax because of the deductibles and the credits. But my whole point is that if you're eligible to pay taxes here, yes, if you're eligible to pay taxes and you're working through as a contingent laborer, okay, then yes, you should have an EEO protection against unlawful discrimination. You should have equal employment opportunity. And it's just outright despicable when a place like Lifestyle Staffing says, don't call our agency. Yeah, well, people are realizing there need to be more protections against capricious hiring decisions because, gosh, I mean, I said I won't name any names of places that hired me, so I'll stay true to my word because I want to make sure that anyone who does, Employee Center, JPO in the future, they have as much trust in him, or even more trust, rather, than my recent former and present employers. But the whole point that I'm making about the temp economy is that it's a symptom of an economic illness. And the cure for that malady is really a disheveling, a shaking up of the political establishment. And that's why Bernie Sanders cleaned the floor with Hillary Rodham Clinton in Wisconsin, beat her by a margin of 13.5 percentage points, and why Trump is racking up the wins in most primaries, Wisconsin notwithstanding. So, and the third reason here as to why temps are on the rise is pretty much if you have an expectancy here of being a permanent temp and you get more follow-up work. Well, I would see that as you're like slacking off, even if you're unable to get hired for our work. So it's kind of the human resource people have kind of a hive mind about these things. So if they see that you've been a permanent temp, well, that's pretty much a death sentence for your career. Now, I hate to say it, but it's true is that trying to find a human resources person who would actually want to hire someone who's been permatemping elsewhere, let alone in their own company, is pretty rare. Now, unfortunately, there aren't any statistics for this, which I wish there were, but there aren't. So it's just one of those things where I know from our experience, and I know that none of my fellow temps have been hired on wherever they temped. So the human resource reluctance to go and hire temps who work at their business, at their organization, that is a third reason why there are so many temps, because a lot of them get stuck as temps. They can't get out of that silo. So we've another like 7.5 minutes here before we have to wrap up, and we'll also be our midway point here. What I mean by wrapping up is that, unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio doesn't let people with the basic plan go and have 2 hours of continuous airtime. Oh, no, they want to gouge you. So what I've done instead as a workaround to circumvent this limitation is I have four podcasts each about half an hour. Some are a little shorter just because I have I need time for the prior segment to go and upload, and then it processes the audio on the server side, and then there's another delay. So all in all, it's about 3.5, maybe 4 minutes between segments here. But considering I'm running through material here pretty quickly, even with my research, that's not such a bad thing. And also, if you know anyone who's listening, don't be shy. What you need to do is just tell your friends. Call WPR Rebuttal. Our number is 929-477-3965. And you can go to WPR-rebuttal.com, and you can go and read more or less a written summary of what has been on air. So, and the first two podcasts here are going to be entitled "Why Sanders Trounced Clinton in Wisconsin, / America's Temp Economy." And there are parts one and part two, and really I've gone through that material quite well, if not exhaustively. So I'm going to have to think of a title for what the third and fourth segments are, because we already covered, Sanders over Clinton, and we already covered the temp economy. So I'm just going to look at my notes here. What else can we cover? Oh, yeah. Free speech. That's a perennial issue. Oh, yeah. Okay, so I have a lot to say about the protesters in Milwaukee. Remember, and I was talking about the Chuck Quinnback article from March 24th when he was going over the Chelsea Clinton stopping in a campaign office. And then they had a tiny crowd of had to be fewer than 40 people. And despite being a predominantly black neighborhood, only like 12.5% of the people in the photo were black. And that's really on par with the United States incidence of black people. I mean, U.S. is actually a bit higher, 12.6% versus the 12.5% in that photo in the Milwaukee branch. But my whole point is that Milwaukee has just been like a flash unrest against the establishment. And that's obviously clear with, Bernie beating Hillary handily. And that's also clear in the protests that occurred at a town hall meeting. But we'll get to that after a commercial break. In fact, after a commercial break, we'll end this episode. I also have to refresh myself a bit. this can be pretty rigorous, especially, when you have a lot of complex issues to talk about. But, hey, keeping our on schedule here. And so without further ado, a word from our sponsors. Boom, 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 boom. Well, I guess a little further ado, because I have some delay here in the tape. So boom, boom, boom. I know we were supposed to have another blurb from Airheads and Dollar General and Aldi. Those are my big sponsors here. All right, here we go. Airheads are the al dente treat for you and yours. Mildly sweet with the firm but gentle texture, Airheads are a candy that I frequently buy. Airheads, they have a taste that's out of control. Dollar General is the best place to stock up on snacks, sodas, sundries, and seasonal items. Staff are friendly and efficient, serving an impressive amount of customers. Dollar General, when you see a black and yellow, you have a reason to feel mellow. Aldi has been an American tradition since 1976. Remain true to its roots as Albrecht Discount. Today's Aldi provides affordable groceries with a premium taste. Aldi, healthy food at healthy prices. All right, folks, that's the end of this segment. I'll see you on the flip side. So give me about no more than 5 minutes. All right, thanks.